Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Crying out loud. Hello, America. Yeah. I just, fair warning, I'm in a bit of a mood today. It's not like a Mark Levin mood. Where, you know, and you know what I'm talking about. I listen to Levin every afternoon when I do my walk over at Shelby Farms here in Memphis, Tennessee. You know how Levin gets sometimes. No, I'm not that. I'm not at that level just yet, but I'm almost there. Grace Baker, as you know, for some weird reason, the middle finger began hurting yesterday.
Do you think maybe you use it too much?
I don't know if I was like projecting. Mm-hmm. No, I don't use it too much. But mm-hmm. I did honk the horn at somebody yesterday trying to get into the news bunker. So I'm dealing with this horrible pain in the middle finger. It's now it's swollen. This morning I got up and the palm of my hand is like black and blue.
You sure you didn't like sleep punch somebody last night?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, what is going on here? And then this morning, I'm just walking through, minding my own business, with news anchor Ben Dieter. And you know, that guy, he's like a bundle of energy.
He's like the Energizer Bunny.
So I just got my hot, piping hot cup of community coffee. And I'm walking through, and the door opens, and he slams. And so now the bruised and injured hand is, like, burned.
Yeah, now you got the double whammy. Burning, pain.
We
just need
terrible.
To wrap you in bubble wrap.
That's what I've determined. What's going on? I need help. I need help, America.
In more ways than one.
Okay, that was uncalled for. In the corner.
Okay.
What happened? I've already lost control of the program, and
it's
we just
been
started.
2 minutes.
Good Lord. All right, folks, we've got a lot going on, and I mean a lot. So here's the deal. RNC meeting here in Memphis, Tennessee, where we broadcast our program, our flagship radio station, KWAM. And all of the Republican leadership in America is here in Memphis meeting, and they're deciding a lot of very important issues, including primaries, caucuses, or cauci, if you will, and also whether or not they're going to be participating in these presidential debates. So we're going to have a number of RNC leaders from around America. I believe Maine, Alabama, maybe Tennessee will be here sometime during the program today. Also, we're going to be checking in with our friends over at the Convention of States. They've got a big story about Disney, and we're going to get to that in just a moment as well. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. Now, all this week, we've been celebrating our brand new affiliate in Wichita, Kansas, KQAM. And the rule of the day is if you call in from KQAM in Wichita, we're going to send you home with a beautiful prize package. And it's our way of saying welcome to the neighborhood as we mark 120 radio affiliates now that carry this program. So give us a call if you're from Wichita and listening to us, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. A lot happening in the world of radio. Talkers Magazine comes out with their annual list of top talkers in America. And Grace Baker, we just got word, this coming from Talkers Magazine, which is sort of the industry, I guess, trade leader. And they rank every year, they come out with their Heavy 100. That's the top talk radio host in America.
It's like the radio's version of Sexiest Person Alive.
You know what? That's a great... Yes, that's it. That's absolutely
Hello,
it.
America.
So you've got like everybody from, I don't know, Sean Hannity on the list to Mark Levin, of course, is on the list. Al Rushbo is always number one. And we just got word that we have made this year's list again, which is pretty exciting. We are ranked number 40 on the list. So congratulations to all of us at the show. And we're very excited to hear that news.
Very nice.
All right.
Give ourselves a pat on the back.
A little pat on the back. And because, you know what? If we don't toot our own horn, nobody's going to toot our horn for us.
You got that right.
That sounded a little weird. But you get the point. All right. A couple of big stories here. We now know that the guy responsible for this terrorist attack, and I don't know, there's really no way to, no other way to call it or qualify it, as it's a terrorist attack. This guy opens fire on the subway rush hour earlier this week, Brooklyn, New York. And now it turns out this guy has a massive criminal record. There's no reason why this guy should have been out on the streets in the first place. But he was. And now we know that the FBI actually brought him in back in 2019. We don't know why, but he was interviewed and he was placed on a watch list. There's a database that the FBI uses and many others, many other law enforcement agencies around the country utilize this database. This guy's name was in that database. We don't know why. We do know that he is a black nationalist, and he has made a lot of dangerous threats and a lot of really disgusting statements about white people and about Jews and even about some black folks. So it's not surprising that he was on the list, but the FBI hasn't exactly told us why and why he was removed. He was whatever they thought he did, he did not do, or they didn't have the evidence to charge him with that, so they took his name off the list. That was in 2019. And now here we are, ladies and gentlemen, where you've got this guy who, again, just like the Tsarnaev brothers, remember what happened with the Boston Marathon bombing? They were on the terrorist watch list, and nobody was watching them. Now, this may be a controversial statement, and I'm probably going to get a ticket as I'm driving out of the building today by saying what I'm about to say, because you're not supposed to criticize the FBI, but I just call it like I see it. And it seems to me that if the FBI had not been so busy plotting and planning the kidnapping of the Michigan governor, and if the FBI had not been so busy trying to take down Donald Trump and push this phony Russian dossier, and if the FBI had not been so busy plotting and planning the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol building, maybe, just maybe, what happened earlier this week during rush hour in Brooklyn, New York, would not have happened. Maybe instead of going after law-abiding American citizens, they ought to be focused on watching the bad guys, the people that are more likely to blow us up, the people that are more likely to shoot up subway cars. Maybe, just maybe. Now, I know that may be controversial, but it's the truth. Now, I want you to think about something. The FBI has been asked over and over and over again, how many agents did you have boots on the ground when the riots occurred at the U.S. Capitol? Nobody wants to answer that question. Not a single person wants to answer that question. They refuse to answer that question. The FBI will not tell us. And there have been a lot of organizations out there documenting this. And every time somebody comes out with a story saying, hey, look, these are photographs of people who are connected to the FBI. Why are these people in civilian attire and why are they out there in this crowd? Why are they the ones going into the buildings? These are all legitimate questions, very legitimate questions. And they're questions that need to be asked because, and it's a horrible thing to say, but ladies and gentlemen, you cannot trust the FBI. You cannot trust the federal government. President Trump was right. There is a deep state. And this deep state is not a friend of freedom. They are not a friend of liberty. They're not a friend of the United States of America. These are people that want to hunt you down. They want to take away your guns. They want to take away your freedoms. Well, there goes Todd again. He's just, you know, he's just having a bad day. And when he has a bad day, he just gets all in an uproar and he just makes a mountain out of a molehill. That's what little Todd's doing. No, this is true. Go back to the early days of the pandemic. Do you see what's happening in Shanghai right now, where people are literally locked inside of their homes? People are jumping out of their buildings, splattering themselves on the sidewalk. They can't take the isolation anymore. That's what they wanted to do here, and they were well on the way to doing that, shutting down our businesses, our schools, our church houses. In many cases, people just said, yeah, here are the keys, lock her up. So, yes, there are people working within our government who hate our way of life, and they're doing everything they can behind the scenes to stop that, to stop us from enjoying our freedoms. So I'm not surprised that this guy was walking the streets. I wasn't surprised when the Sarnaev brothers, who attacked the Boston Marathon, I was not surprised when we found out they were on the FBI watch list, because they're too busy trying to take down people who actually love this country. So yes, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to know how many people in the FBI were involved in what happened on January the 6th. Is it possible that the people who actually plotted the storming of the Capitol, I'm not talking about the people that the police welcomed into the building, but I'm talking about the actual plotting of the attack, because there was a plan to attack the Capitol. We saw that with the breaking of the windows and the knocking down of the doors. We saw all of that. So I want to know who was ultimately responsible for saying, getting a bunch of people together in a room and saying, hey, let's go storm the Capitol. Were there any FBI agents in that room? And they don't want to answer that question. And you know why they don't want to answer the question? First of all, because they were there. But more importantly, they knew something was going to happen because they were planning it. And they didn't do anything about it to stop it. And that leads to another question. Why? And I suspect at the end of the day, when they finally get around to getting the truth, they're going to discover that Donald Trump was, in fact, a victim on January the 6th as much as anybody else in that building. And I know there are rhinos who are literally smashing their fingers and their fist against their car listening to us on the radio, right? I understand that. You were there, Starnes. You don't know what you're talking about. Donald Trump is a big meanie. Yeah, well, that may be the case. But he's not responsible for what happened on January the 6th. But if there was an FBI agent in the room and they were the ones who made the suggestion and laid out the plan for how to carry it out, in my estimation, they're the ones who ought to be on trial. I don't have a problem. No, absolutely. If somebody was there and they broke in and they destroyed property inside that building, they ought to be charged as well. Anybody who broke the law that day should be punished, including those who are supposed to be protecting us. Everybody. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website, ToddStearns.com. Lots of info there for you to check out. We'll be right back, America.
With the political pressure of the left and the woke mob that is the Democrat Party, our society has ultimately become controlled by the cancel culture elites. Since when have the founders of our Constitution, the American flag, Dr. Seuss, and many other things become anti-American? There's never been a better time in our nation's history to stand up against the woke mob and fight back. And you can do that with this exclusive offer I'm giving to my listeners for a limited time only. Now is your chance to win a signed photo by President Trump himself. That's right, not only will you be taking a stand against the radical left, you'll be entering to win a piece of history. All you have to do is text the word PHOTO to 55404 today to enter. That's PHOTO to 55404. Join me in standing up for President Trump and canceling the radical left once and for all. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
All right. right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And we do want to say thank you, all of our great listeners around the nation. We do not have the backing of one of the major media conglomerates like Cumulus or iHeart. What we do on this program, we do as on our own. I mean, we are it. We don't have hundreds of people. We don't, you know, a lot of the, I'm not going to name names, but a lot of the top conservative talk radio hosts, they have staff that handle all of their social media postings. They have people that write their books. Well, we don't do that here. We do our own stuff, so we don't rely on other people. And the way I think of it, it's pretty simple. People are listening to this program. They want to hear what I have to say, or they may like Dalmatians, so they listen to Grace. They may, you know, I don't, they may like our music that Kyle picks out for us. But we do that in-house, and it's a lot of fun, and we love it. And one of the reasons I love it, Grace, is that so many people told us, you can't do this. Oh, Stearns isn't at Fox anymore. He's just gone.
You just like to prove people wrong.
Well, we do like to prove people wrong.
And give them the middle finger?
No, no. Well, yeah.
In a nice way.
Is an act of Christian love?
Sure.
I don't think so.
It's all about the intent, Todd.
Extend the middle finger of brotherly love.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think so. But I will say this, though, Grace. You know, what we do because we love it and we believe in it. It's not, I'm not a conservative because that's how I get paid or what I get paid for. But there are people out there who do. They don't believe in what they're talking about.
True.
And, you know, people, you may not agree with what I have to say, but I hope you respect the fact that that's what I believe. And, you know, a lot of people don't do that in this business anymore, but you guys are smart. And that's the thing. People don't understand when you look at audiences, whether it's TV audience or podcast or digital or whatever, the radio audience is, and they have done surveys on this. I'm not speaking out the wazoo, but people who listen to talk radio are by and large a lot smarter than people who watch television, watch the cable news channels. And you guys, by and large, are a lot more tolerant. In other words, you may not agree with somebody, but you don't want to shut them down. In your head, you think, well, bless your heart, and you move on. So all that to say, talkers earlier this morning released their the 2022 Heavy 100. These are the top 100 talk hosts in America. It doesn't matter if you're liberal or conservative. We got beat by Howard Stern and Bill O'Reilly, Grace. I'm not sure how I feel about that. But
Howard Stern.
But we're on the list. We're number 40 in America. So
that'll do.
You know what? I'm happy with that.
That'll do.
We should have given them a little picture of Merlot to put on our
That would have
graphic.
Gotten us some brownie points, I guarantee it.
Matt, you know what, though? Matt from North Carolina, he's upset. Matt, he's on the line. Matt, what are you upset about?
Hello, Todd. How are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Glad to do it.
Yeah. I'm a little confused. Who's doing these ratings? Number 40? Ridiculous. You should be up there. What's so great about Sean Hannity? I mean, come on.
I'm not going to interrupt. Continue, Matt.
Okay. Well, number one, I can't pull Sean Hannity on my radio. I love your show. Brian Kilmeade is impossible to get on. I heard he's number three. I would rate you number one. I wish I was on the board of directors like Jimbo Henning. What rating is he? I might ask.
Jimbo's up there. Jim is a personal friend of mine, and I think he's one of the...
Oh, no, I love Jim, yeah. Too. Don't get me wrong.
Jim is one of the best radio interviewers. I mean, late-night talk show host. Man, I'm listening to Jimbo. He's great.
Yes, he is, but, I mean, you don't belong at number 40. You might belong at number 2.
Well, you're very kind to say that, Matt, and, you know, I mean, they... The big dogs, iHeart and Cumulus, you know, they put a lot of pressure on folks when they're coming up with these things, and that's the way that goes. But God bless you, Matt. Thank you for the kind words. Hey, hang tight, folks. We've got so much more going on. But more importantly, I want you to hear this. Thank you. The only thing that matters, not these honors, is that you are listening to this radio program. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back, America. Our world has certainly changed. Everything is online today. With all the convenience the internet has to offer, our world is more electronic than ever. You may have security systems in place for real life, but what about your online life?
Identity Guard can sound the alarm if your digital presence is at risk. Here's a scary stat. Every 7 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or identity theft. 23% of those people never get their money back. And if you think it could never happen to you, think again. Identity Guard can help. They provide advanced monitoring to keep your online accounts, finances, and personal information safe. If a threat is found, you'll get alerted fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. For a limited time, Identity Guard is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit identityguard.com/Todd. Go to identityguard.com/Todd to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. Certain terms apply. See site for details.
All right, folks, some good news coming from our little neck of the world. The Culture Engagement Summit coming up April 30th. That's a Saturday all day, Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. This is going to be a fun day. If you want to learn how to engage the culture, fight back, get involved, and take back your local communities, your local school boards, this is a great conference for you. Incredible speakers, Senator Rick Scott, Senator Marsha Blackburn, Robert Jeffress, Mark Meadows, who was the former chief of staff to President Donald Trump, our good friend, former Senator Jim DeMint, and yours truly is going to be there. They're going to have some great workshops, a free Chick-fil-A lunch. Well, it's not free unless you register. And here's what we're going to do. Grace, do we have all the info there on our live show blog? All right, here's the deal. If you go to the live show blog right now and you sign up, we are going to take care of your registration fee. In other words, you're going to be able to attend free of charge, and you're going to be able to get that free Chick-fil-A lunch as well. So normally it's a $30 ticket. And you can look, you can buy the ticket and save us $30. But we, you know, anybody who uses our code, and that code is Spring 2022, and Grace has all the info there on the live show blog. Sign up and you'll be able to attend this great conference. And while you're there, you have to drop by our book table and buy a book so we can, you know, we got to make some money, you know. I'm just saying, it's capitalism. So you can also go to citizensforamericafoundation.com if you'd like more details on this great conference coming up April the 30th. Got a letter in the mail from our good friend Joe from Ella J just a couple of days ago. You know, Joe told us on this program that he was going to give Disney the what for. And I want to go to the phones now because Joe from Ella J, Georgia, calling in. And Joe, first of all, thanks for sending that letter.
Well, Todd, you're welcome, and I mailed you another, my regular newsletter, where I named your show and another show the top two talk shows in America. And congratulations, being named number 40, but I think you're in the top two. I disagree with that ranking, but yeah, on Disney, I just sold some Disney stock today because of and they need to get away. If they get away from this woke policy, the stock was 200 today. I think it's 132. It's about 30% away from his high. So these woke policies have really cost the shareholders, of course I'm one of them, a lot of money. So I think to restore the stock to where it was, they need to immediately stop this woke policy. And of course your show goes all over the country, and I'm sure there are a lot of Disney stockholders listening to your great show. And if they are, I would suggest they write a letter to the president of Disney like I did and demand as a shareholder that they stop this woke policy immediately.
Joe, let me jump in here. All right, let's turn Joe down, guys. Thank you. Joe, we've got a bad phone connection there, so my apologies, ladies and gentlemen. But we get the gist of what Joe was telling us. People are really upset with Disney. And Joe from Ella J, one of those people who's putting his anger where his pocketbook is, and he got rid of all of his Disney stock. And I say, good for you. Meanwhile, yesterday, these protests against Disney are spreading. They had a big protest outside Disney headquarters in California. And then yesterday, they had another protest. Here's what it sounded like outside of Disneyland yesterday.
Boycott Disney!
Boycott Disney!
Boycott Disney!
Disney!
Boycott Disney!
Yeah, so you kind of get the gist there. People just going nuts. Moms and dads and people. It looked to me to be a pretty much a religious group of people. But they're out there boycotting Disney and saying, you know what? We've drawn the line in the sand. We're not going to allow Disney to sexualize our kids. We're not going to allow Disney to go in there and bully and badger state governments. Now, I will say this, when you look at what's happening with when you look at what's happening with the state legislatures, there are a number around this around the country that are beginning to consider legislation that would allow parents to have a say in what their kids learn in the public school classroom. Now, I am curious if any of you have made decisions to stop going to Disney. Maybe you've canceled your Disney Plus subscription, or maybe some of you said, you know what, it's really not worth it. That's not the line in the sand for me. We'd like to hear from you, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, speaking of just this crazy sex and gender war, I've got some... Our friends over at Libs of TikTok, they've really earned a national reputation for finding these really creepy perverts who are school teachers. And they're posting all this stuff about sex and gender on their social media pages. And so Libs of TikTok sort of compiles all of that information and they share it on their Twitter feed. Now Libs of TikTok has been suspended by Twitter, and they've been accused of hate speech. It's unbelievable. But some of the reporting is still up there. I want you to hear this preschool teacher. Now, understand, this is a preschool teacher, ladies and gentlemen, and they actually teach four-year-old children. So everything you're about to hear is what this teacher is doing to four-year-olds in the public school classroom.
Hi, my name's Az, and I'm a preschool teacher. So my classroom celebrates diversity. It's probably my favorite thing to teach. We usually use kids' books to talk about this kind of thing. Recently, we started wearing pronoun pins, and the kids get to pick a new pronoun pin every day. We have some that pick, like, she, her every single day, and we have some that change it up. So diversity is really important in my class. So I recently realized that there's a whole lot of really amazing figureheads and people to look up to in this world, who aren't white or straight or male or have what have you, and that we should learn a little bit more about these people.
There you go. What did she say? And by the way, is her name Ass? Is that what she said her name was? Can we go back and listen to the very first? I wasn't clear about that.
Hi, my name's Ass, and I'm a preschool teacher. So
is her name Ass?
Miss Ass, I have a question.
Maybe she's saying Ash.
Oh, Miss Ash.
I'm just trying to give her a little bit of the benefit of the doubt.
Miss Butthole,
oh.
I have a question.
Her favorite thing to teach the four-year-olds, Grace, is not math. It's not 1 + 1 = 2 or her ABCs.
Who needs
A,
that?
B, C, D, E, F, L, G, B, T, H, I,
I was going to say, she does like to teach the alphabet.
Yeah, but not that alphabet.
The alternative out there.
That's not it. She wants to teach the kids diversity. That's like that's the only thing the children are learning in public school.
Exactly.
And this is why when you pay your bill at Walmart and you don't get exact change back, that's the reason why.
Blame people like her.
That's right. Miss Ass, the preschool teacher. Unbelievable. And by the way, I mean, so Libs of TikTok, Grace, you've been on the page.
Oh, yeah.
It's just hundreds.
There's no shortage, especially on TikTok, of material for Libs of TikTok to use.
It's frightening. These are people who have no problem. They don't think what they're doing is wrong. I mean, they're not ashamed of this. It's not like you've got, like, the pedos, you know, that, you know, in the basements of their parents' home.
No.
You know, they're just out there in the open.
And they're posting about it.
Unbelievable.
Makes you wonder about all the ones that don't post about it.
Yeah, yes it does.
Because you know there's a lot that don't, because I'm sorry, but half of it I'm going, how are you this stupid to post about it if that's what you're trying to accomplish?
Speaking of stupid, so this woman you're about to hear, I think she's a woman, I don't know. I just get so confused. I really do. So this woman is a wedding photographer, and so now she wants to change She wants to change the word bride and groom. These people just want to throw out the modern language and replace it with some sort of woke gobbledygook. Listen to cut number two.
So you or someone you love is non-binary and getting married. And maybe you're asking yourself, like, what's a gender-neutral version for bride or groom? There are a few different answers to this, and anytime I talk about this, it, like, gets controversial. For context, I'm a queer non-binary wedding photographer, so I spend a lot of time at weddings. The oldest and maybe most popular terms, gender-neutral terms for bride and groom, are bride and broom, just, like, mixing up the spelling of the two words. But the thing about that is that it often just, like, takes non-binary people and then, like, puts them into a new binary, where broom is often used as, like, a masculine bride, and gride is often used as, like, a feminine groom. And if those terms feel great to you, then, like, go for it. But other alternatives are nearlywed, newlyweds, spouse, and my personal favorite, marrier. So a bride and a groom and the person who are marrying you are all technically marriers, but marrier is, like, a general term. Okay, you can probably hear my kid, like, chatting in the background. And you can make up something totally new if you want.
I don't know what to say here.
I genuinely don't know what to say.
I'm just, is our country doomed? I mean, honestly.
If these people are teaching our children, yes. I'm sorry. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
I just, you know, I think we need some old school grandmas and grandpas of, like, Madea and Big Mama. Remember those great movies? We need, like, we need a battalion of Madeas just to go in there.
That would be terrifying.
And just clean out the public school system. I mean, this is an infestation.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
It's getting pretty bad.
Now, this Grace's story comes from Whatcom Middle School in Bellingham, Washington. They're hosting a drag show. So they did, have you seen the TV show? I think it's on CNBC, Shark Tank. Have you seen
that?
Yes. I love that show.
That's a great show.
So they decided that they were going to do a Shark Tank-style game show, and the winners, and it would involve all the student clubs, and so the winners would be funded. So they had to, all the kids had to go and make their presentation. I think it's a pretty brilliant strategy. You know, the kids are, are trying to demonstrate why it's important, talking about budget and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So the Whatcom Middle School's Gender Sexuality Alliance Club, because what 12-year-old doesn't want to be a part of something like that?
That sounds so fun.
They made a presentation, and they asked the PTA to fund the Drop Dead Gorgeous drag show.
Oh, don't tell me they even considered it.
Not only did they consider it, they thought it was a fabulous idea. A fabulous idea! Oh, I love it. The middle school is, in fact, going to host a drop-dead gorgeous drag show for the children.
How old are these kids again?
Well, we're talking middle school, so I would say with the youngest, what, 11, 12 years old, I guess, if that's sixth grade?
Creepy in general.
On a side note, is it weird that the older you get, I'm 54. I don't feel 54. I don't feel
You're
old.
Young at heart.
I am very young at heart. But the problem I have is I can't tell ages now. You know, when I'm like, oh.
You just lump everyone together.
Where was I at? Oh, I was at the passion play. This kid comes over. He's got to be like 6'4", 6'5". And I'm like, oh, you in college? No, sir, I'm a sophomore in high school. Oof. I'm like, sweet Lord, man.
I don't know what they're putting in the milk nowadays.
Play basketball. So, no, I didn't ask that. I didn't want to be, you know, stereotypical.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're on the chess team.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, the parents said, oh, look, this is going to be lots of fun. And one parent said, you know, I've been to the drag shows at the bars, and there's not going to be any nudity in the middle school drag show. I'm like, what kind of drag shows are you going to,
oh,
pal?
Oh, my.
So there's not going to be nudity. They said there would be grown men wearing feather boas and the skin-tight, sparkly dresses.
Oh, lovely.
There are some parents, though, who really don't think this is a good idea. And one of the parents said, wait a second. So they said there's a difference between promoting inclusion and trying to promote endlessly a particular agenda. And I think that parent has a good point. But I would like to know, what is the educational value of this drag show? I mean, what is a 12-year-old child going to learn by watching a, you know, a hairy grown man gyrate on stage in stiletto heels?
Oof.
What is the educational value of that?
It's all about learning about, like the first teacher said we listened to, about people different than you.
I will say this. When I was a kid, they did some fun stuff, like the PTA. We had an ugly woman contest.
What?
Yeah, an ugly woman contest.
Yeah, I was homeschooled. I missed out on these things.
If anybody knows what I'm talking about here, you may have to defend my honor. But
okay.
So they would get the male teachers, and they would dress up as, like, ugly women. And they would have, like, a beauty pageant. It would be like the and you would give money, and it would go to charity.
So ugly women. Yeah, you couldn't do that now.
No.
Could you imagine?
No.
So the ugly. So what did they do to make themselves ugly?
Well, they put on their own makeup, and they wear the dresses, you know, and they would have the large bosoms, you know, and things of that nature.
Fake moles and stuff on their
and
faces.
Then we did the, my favorite was when we had the teachers play the charity basketball games on the donkeys.
Oh.
Donkey basketball?
What?
Oh, that's always fun.
There's another name for that, horse.
All right. 844-747-8868. Remember the ugly women? Maybe it was just my school. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Friends, since November of last year, the stock market has plummeted, but gold has been on the rise. Gas prices are insane. The stock market extremely volatile. Inflation is even worse than it was last year, and now we have a war with Russia and Ukraine that could spread to the rest of the world. The markets do not like instability. The good news, you have options. Gold prices are rising as investors turn to gold for protection. Gold provides a hedge against inflation and protects against a weakening dollar. Legacy Precious Metals is the only company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You need an investment that will protect your wealth and retirement. Be proactive while there's still time. Remember 2008? Those invested in gold saw huge gains while others lost their retirements. Legacy Precious Metals can advise you on all of your options for investing in gold and silver. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals, 866-528-1903, or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com.
All right, folks, a shock poll out. This is the headline. Biden's approval rating craters. Oh, man, this is not good. 33%. This is embarrassing. Embarrassing. This is the Quinnipiac polling. Biden's approval rating among independents, only 26%. Only 39% of Americans back his handling of Ukraine. It just gets worse and worse for this administration. 68% say the United States should be doing more to stop Vladimir Putin's forces from killing civilians. I have a question for you here. And this is one we're all going to have to consider. Because the reporting coming out of Ukraine is that Putin is now waging genocide against the Ukrainian people. There are also unconfirmed reports by the Biden administration, so they haven't been able to confirm this, that Putin used chemical weapons on the Ukrainians. But if this, and by the way, now Putin, and the another headline coming out today is that Putin is threatening nuclear weapons and possible nuclear war if Finland joins NATO. It's getting ugly over there. So here's the question. Should we get more involved in this conflict in Ukraine? Because that's where all of this is heading. I mean, the narrative is starting to form and percolate, and we're going to be facing some very difficult decisions very soon. If in fact a genocide is happening, should we stand down and do nothing? And I want you to think long and hard about this. Because, and let me throw this question out there. If we had known the Holocaust was happening in real time, should we have intervened? Because what we're looking at right now could be the early stages of that. I mean, if they're killing thousands and thousands and thousands of people, just slaughtering them, do we have a moral obligation at that point as Americans to step in and stop the Russians? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. We're going to get into more of that polling data. Also, the very latest on the Disney controversy. There's some new developments here, too. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, Hour 2, coming up, America. If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why? It's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products. Everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code STARNES or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNES.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, folks. Wow, do we have a busy couple of hours together. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We're so glad to have you with us. Again, welcoming all of our brand new listeners all this week. We celebrate our new affiliate, and we've got another one to announce next week. But we're celebrating KQAM, our great news talk affiliate in Wichita, Kansas. And if you are a listener of KQAM, we want to hook you up with a free prize package, our way of saying welcome to the neighborhood. You folks, WDUN, you've been there. You've done that before. You folks up in Portland, Maine. Oh, by the way, KYKN. I can't spill the beans just yet, but we are working on a big event later on this summer. So we're going to be heading out to Oregon for an event there in town. So we'll tell you more about that. We just want to tantalize you for just a moment. So anyway, more of that coming. But if you're listening to us today from Wichita, Kansas, give us a call, 844-747-8868. And we'd just like to say hello and say thank you for listening to our great affiliate there. Senator Ted Cruz is going to be here in just a little while. Also, we're going to be speaking with three state GOP chairs. They are all here in Memphis, Tennessee, Republicans holding a huge meeting over at the Peabody Hotel. We're going to be speaking to the chairs of the great state of Maine, also Tennessee and Alabama, all here a little bit later on today. But right now, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And our good friend from the Convention of States, Mark Meckler, president of the Convention of States. Mark, good to have you with us today.
Great to be with you, Todd.
Mark, a very interesting survey that you guys conducted caught my attention. Nearly 70% of Americans now say they're less likely to do business with Disney and instead will support family-friendly alternatives. Any surprising notes about the survey that you guys did?
Yeah, you know, I think, generally speaking, those numbers didn't surprise me. What surprised me was when you dig in, and one of the things that you find is almost 50% of Democrats have that opinion, that they're ready to bail out on Disney. They've had enough. So we tend as conservatives to see Democrats as some sort of monolith. It's not true. And the party is definitely splintering along these radical gender ideology lines. So you have almost 50% of Democrats ready to bail out on Disney. And frankly, I think they're looking the same way at their own party.
When, you know, Disney especially, though, I think there's a sense of betrayal. You know, we all grew up watching Disney on Sundays, the Magical World, Wonderful World of Disney on TV. I mean, that was part of our growing up experience. And now moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas realize this is not the same Disney World.
Yeah, I agree with that. And so, you know, I think your statement about betrayal is correct. And one of the things that I see from talking to people out there that I hear, because I travel all over the country, is that it's not just the numbers. It's a level of intensity around the numbers. And what's so interesting on this is people are furious. They do feel betrayed. They do feel like Disney is wandering into an area that they never expected it to be, never believed it would be. And so they're very, very angry about that. And I also think it's interesting when you dig down into not just party affiliation, but you look at age groups. And this is one of the things that also surprised me so much. You know, we talked about they're exposing kids to sexual ideas. And the question is, does it make you more or less likely to do business with them? And then you look at the 18 to 24-year-old group, you're talking at 62% of that group, young people, saying they're less likely to do business with Disney. And by the way, that number around between 60 and 70% is consistent through all age groups.
Looking at some of the data you guys have here, I think the Trafalgar Group was responsible for conducting the actual poll here. 48.2% of Democrats say that the revelations that Disney is focusing on creating content to expose young kids to sexual ideas make them less likely to do business with Disney. And I think this is important, Mark, because there are two components of the Disney story. Number one, they're going to fight this legislation in Florida that the left has tagged as the Don't Say Gay law, which it says nothing about gay in the law. But the other part of this is they are on the record as saying they are going to be producing propaganda to promote the LGBTQIA agenda.
Yeah, and I actually think that those two things matter. They're distinct because I think most people would have ignored the controversy around their opinion on the law in Florida. But when you had that videotape come out from Chris Rufo that was sneaked out through Chris Rufo of them saying that they're putting queerness in everything they can, that they're trying to make 50% of the characters fit this sexual identity politics, that kind of stuff really blew people's minds. And it took people from, I don't agree with what Disney is doing in Florida, to Disney is evil and they're trying to indoctrinate my children.
Mark Meckler on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from Convention of States. And Mark, I'm curious, maybe I should know the answer to this question. I don't know the answer to this question, so you can say what's up with Starnes today. But why is the Convention of States polling on this Disney question?
Well, the main reason is because we consider ourselves a grassroots organization. In fact, we are the largest citizen-led grassroots organization in America, over 5.2 million people part of the organization. And I've always believed, as a guy that comes from the grassroots, that it's really important to give the grassroots a voice in American politics and media. I'm privileged. I travel around a lot. I do about 250,000 air miles a year. I've been in 47 states in the last 3 years. I feel like I know the American people pretty well, and I want to give them a voice. So when I hear something, when I hear a trend breaking, we go out and pull it, and we're going to present that in the media to give regular people a voice.
Well, I think this is wonderful, Mark, and we certainly appreciate your great work and the great work the Convention of States is doing. We have links to all of your platforms over at toddstearns.com. Mark, thanks a lot. Congrats, and thank you for doing the poll. I think this is very important, and this is great hands-on intel, you know, that people can use when making decisions about Disney.
Thanks, Todd. We'll keep them coming your way.
All right, good stuff. That's Mark Meckler, everybody. Great American patriot. I'm curious, though. I mean, are you surprised by the Democrat side of this? I am to an extent, but the reality is a lot of Democrats are people of color, and especially in the Black and Hispanic communities, we're talking about very culturally conservative people. Yeah, they may vote Democrat, but we're talking about people who go to church. They have a value system that is locked into the early days of the world. And they don't like stuff like this. They're not going to let stuff like this fly. By the way, I have noticed that there has been a trend. And Grace Baker, I love watching the docu-series and stuff like that. And I was just watching one on Julia Child. I'm just fascinated by her story. But she was a cultural conservative, but she was liberal in every other aspect of her life.
Really?
And she came under fire. She was accused of being anti-gay.
Oh.
Years ago. But the reality is, I have no idea, and I'm not quite sure why that even mattered. When I first started, you know, watching that French chef show and, you know, all this other...
Oh, yeah.
It never crossed my mind, oh, I wonder if she's pro-gay.
That's not why you're watching her.
No, I'm like, man, that's a great way to cook a roast beef. Wow. That never crossed my mind. But anyway, there's a new series on HBO. It's based on Julia's life, and they literally injected into this a lesbian subplot that somehow Julia Child had a lesbian romance when she was in college, which is not true. It never happened. They just made it up.
It's got to be in every show right now.
So now there is a brand new Disney movie coming out that's causing a lot of controversy. It's on the Disney Plus, which I canceled my subscription. Disney Plus has a brand new movie that features a young child, a little boy. They don't say in the reporting, but probably sixth or seventh grade, who wants to be a Broadway star. And there is a very, very, very noticeable narrative that starts out. Apparently, according to the reporting I saw, where the kid is asking for his lip gloss before he goes to school in the morning.
That's a thing. I know exactly what movie you're talking about. I can't remember the name of it.
But to the point of the executives, the Disney executives, they say they are very happy to announce that they are injecting queerness into everything they do at Disney now.
Just a heads up for parents, it's Better Nate Than Never. That's the movie.
That's the name. It's Better Nate Than Never.
Uh-huh. It's based off of a book, I believe. Watching the trailer, it looked pretty innocent. I remember seeing the trailer, but just a heads up for parents.
Yeah, heads up moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, because you never know.
Is sad.
It is sad. All right, look, we're going to take a break here. We're going to go to the phone lines. A lot of folks wanted to weigh in on this situation in Ukraine, and we're going to be efforting some audio. President Biden has stepped in it again. The president was asked if he will send senior U.S. officials to Ukraine, and Biden asked a female reporter if she's ready to go. Oh, we've got the audio. All right, let's take a listen.
Will you send senior officials to Ukraine?
Well, we're making that decision now. Thank you.
Who would you send?
What was the reason? You ready to go?
So he asked the female reporter, are you ready to go? And then he shakes his fist at the woman. We're going to post a video up on our website. That guy's, it's sad. It is just sad. But this is not normal behavior. But it is a legitimate question. Are we going to be sending troops to Ukraine? Should the United States intervene to stop a genocide? That is the question of the day. Should the United States, if there is a genocide being waged against the Ukrainian people, should the United States intervene? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. I've got to tell you about our great friends over at Patriot Mobile. They're America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They have been longtime supporters of this radio program. I know the owners. I know their hearts. They are good and decent people, and they put out a freaking great cell phone, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to encourage you to consider supporting Patriot Mobile. First of all, again, great service. But beyond that, their profits are not going to support Disney or Planned Parenthood or some sort of a weird organization, perverted organization. They don't do that. They support organizations that are fighting for religious liberty, fighting for the Second Amendment. All you need to do is go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Check out all of their great discounts, and they've got a lot of great discounts. They've got a plan to fit any budget. If you're a veteran, if you're a first responder, they're going to give you an even bigger discount. And if you use my promo code Todd, you're going to get free premier activation and a free gift. PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT.
Now is your chance to enter to win one of six signed photos of President Trump. These were hand-signed by the president, and soon one could be hanging in your house. When President Trump signed these photos, he wanted to make sure all his supporters had the chance to get one. And now is your chance. All you have to do is text PHOTO to 55404 today for your chance to win a beautiful photo of President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump, hand-signed by President Trump himself, by texting PHOTO to 55404 right now. You'll get an exclusive double entry activated by my team for a limited time. Again, text PHOTO to 55404 to have your name entered twice to win a hand-signed Trump photo. You don't want to miss this opportunity, folks. Our contest ends soon, paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee. All right, folks, good to have you back with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We are live in our Liberty University studios today. Let's go to the phones. Dino, listening to us on Nuga Radio, beautiful Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hey, Dino, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing? Listen, I had a new survey just come out on my cell phone. It says you're number one now. It was a mistake, and you're number one.
I love
now,
it.
What we got here with this Putin deal, who's an evil man, you got, okay, we'll start out with Korea, and you slide into Bay of Pigs, and you slide into Vietnam, and then Kuwait, and Afghanistan, and Iraq. Same scenario, but we really shouldn't get involved with troops on the ground unless it's, you know, advisors, because it's just, we don't need another. But Putin, as far as throwing nukes, I think his own people would stop. The next thing is, I don't know if you heard about the new syndrome. It's called the JC syndrome. Remember Johnny Carson?
Oh, I love Johnny Carson.
One night, he was half man and half woman, and he would turn one way and look like a woman. Remember that?
I do remember that.
That's a syndrome that's actually coming out in a lot of Democratic areas, and they're having to put mirrors up because they can't really tell by looking at one way. So they're putting mirrors up so you can actually see what if it's both or single.
Oh, for
and
heaven's
it's just
sake.
It's a real problem. And one more thing with that Will Smith. I was in Florida ever since I'm 68. Ever since I was a little kid, I watched the whole space program. And within 4 days after the accident with the Challenger, Christy McCauley, of course, was a school teacher that went up. We were in a club, you know, and this comedian was making fun of that. And I stood up and said, excuse me. I said, we're still really sensitive about that. You know, it just happened. And he started giving me some lip. And I said, buddy, how about if I come up here and run your head in that brick wall? I said, this is uncalled for. You know, just, but Putin, I don't know. It's a mess. It's a real mess. And I don't know what we're going to do. And I'll get off so somebody else can get on it. Oh, by the way, remember, it's Mom and Dad, not Tom and Brad. God bless you. Have a nice Easter.
Thank you, Dino. Thank you. And God bless you, sir. You know, it is something we need to be thinking about. And going back, I want you to just imagine we're back during World War II, and the reports are coming out that Hitler is rounding up Jews, and he's sending them to concentration camps, and he's sending them into the gas chambers. And if we had known about that, if we had known the extent of that, what would we have done? I mean, just think about that for a moment, because we could be on the verge, the early stages of that happening in Ukraine right now. How will history judge us if we have, when they look back and they saw that the American people stood down and did nothing as people were slaughtered? I mean, what do you think history is going to say about us? Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. DeMarcus, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM, Memphis, Tennessee. DeMarcus, good to have you with us. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how's things? How's everything?
Good, DeMarcus. Thank you for asking.
Well, first of all, I just think that, since Biden has been in office, you know, I think that he hasn't mentioned anything as it relates to trying to reduce the deficit. And he hasn't mentioned anything about trying to balance the budget. His whole idea about making America great has been based on spending and spending and spending and spending money, you know. And so, he's been sending money over to the Ukraine, and I think that they do need the money. But I'm just wondering, is he sending it over there for all the right reasons? That's my problem. Is he sending it for the right reason? You know, and I also think that that if this it's apparent that Vladimir Putin is not going to be content until he reduces the Ukraine to nothing but rubble. And he's on track to doing that. So it's a situation where the United States more than likely to get involved. But I don't think that the United States alone should get involved in this war. I think that it should be a joint effort from those nations in NATO to also be included in helping those Ukrainians.
All right, DeMarcus, it's a great thought, and I appreciate you listening to us. Thanks for calling in. DeMarcus says this needs to be all hands on deck NATO. We just upped the ante again. We've given them, what, $800 million more in military aid? But the genocide continues. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, want to give you an update on a story we first brought to you. And by the way, thanks for all the kind messages. Yesterday, we were on, two shows? It felt like three or four shows on Newsmax. And thanks for all the kind words. Always nice to see you folks on the TV, but we feel more comfortable here on the radio. Anyway, we brought you this story a couple of weeks back about the Wake Forest University student. She's a fourth-year medical student, and she admitted on social media that she wanted to intentionally injure a patient because the patient laughed at her badge. She was wearing a pronoun pin. I can't, folks, I try to be courteous and considerate, but there are a couple of rules, and I'm curious to get your take on this. I remember, year before last, one of the big Southern Baptist Convention leaders, and I'm a Southern Baptist, so I reference my denomination quite a bit. One of our Southern Baptist leaders said that we had a responsibility as Christians to engage in pronoun hospitality. That was the phrase, and it stuck with me. This idea that if you are, let's just say you're a man, but you consider yourself to be a woman, you want other people to refer to you with female pronouns. I just don't do that. I will, if you change your name, say you're let's say you're Carl, and Carl the mechanic, and all of a sudden Carl wants to be Charlene. All right, fine, you change your name to Charlene, I'll call you Charlene. But I'm not going to deny science. I'm not going to deny reality, and I refuse to use preferred pronouns. You are what the good Lord created you to be. Now, if you want to change your name, well, okay, that's fine. But there's no such thing as a they or them. Not on this radio program. We don't play that game here. And I know there are conservative talk show hosts out there, and they've surrendered to this mob of radical activists out there, the gender and sex revolutionaries. And we just don't play that game here, not on this radio program. So anyway, this preacher was like, well, you got to use the right pronouns. And if somebody, so if the preacher said, this Southern Baptist leader said, well, if someone wants to be called a he, but she's really a she, you should call that person a he. Make them feel comfortable. That's what they said, make them feel comfortable. That's just not me. And I know this in the circles that I travel, people do not go around wearing pronoun pins. But I'm curious how you feel about that. There are conservatives who just disagree. They say, no, everybody's got their own pronouns and you should honor their pronouns. There will be a day when somebody says, oh, I want to be called a widget. And you know, you're going to have to call them a widget. I've just made that up. I don't know. So anyway, Tucker Carlson weighed in on this. There's been a development. So Wake Forest put the student on leave, but now they're saying they're not going to punish this medical student who intentionally injured a patient because he laughed at her pronoun pin. Let's take a listen.
So for thousands of years, literally thousands, the most fundamental rule in medicine has been very simple. Do no harm. First, do no harm. Above all else, do no harm. All medical schools in this country teach that rule repeatedly. Doctors who intentionally harm their patients do not belong in the profession, period. But like so many other rules that have ordered society for generations, it is now changing, and very quickly. Weeks ago, we told you about a student at Wake Forest Medical School called Kinshel Del Rosario. On Twitter, Rosario wrote that a patient had mocked her, quote, pronoun pin, which signaled her allegiance to gender ideology of some kind. In response, Del Rosario wrote, quote, I missed his vein, so he had to get stuck twice. In other words, for having different political views, she stabbed her patient. Another student at Wake Forest Medical School called Yuen Liu called the episode, quote, karma. In other words, the patient who was stabbed deserved to be stabbed by his doctor. Now, since we covered that story, Wake Forest Medical School, as well as Wake Forest Baptist Hospital and the company that owns the hospital, Atrium Health, have gone silent. We've asked many questions. They've refused to answer any of them. Questions like, will Del Rosario be allowed to stab more patients in the future as a doctor? But we do know that in a recent email to the student body, the deans at Wake Forest Medical School criticized, quote, unkind people on the internet who dared to talk about the story. They didn't even address the stabbing that took place at their school. That's because most of Wake Forest Medical School community supports that stabbing. Wake Forest student newspaper just published an editorial blaming the patient. Quote, it is appalling that the vast majority of media coverage surrounding Del Rosario's tweet is critiquing her lack of professionalism rather than her patient's display of bigotry. There's been no known follow-up with the patient concerning the problematic nature of their comments or even any documentation of their inappropriate behavior. So laughing at someone's pin gets you stabbed, and the ghouls are training to be doctors at Wake Forest Medical School think that's fine. So that's the prevailing view at Wake Forest, quote, medical school. But not everyone agrees. Some physicians and medical students are shocked by the loathsome response from their administrators. They've informed us that Kinshel Del Rosario is scheduled to begin seeing patients at Wake Baptist Ear, Nose, and Throat Department as soon as next week. She's also on the Wake Forest Planning Committee for an upcoming conference in Dallas on how to treat trans patients. We know why this is happening, by the way. If Kinshel Del Rosario had stabbed a patient because he identified as trans, she would have been expelled immediately. And of course, we'd be in favor of that. Doctors can't stab their patients because they disagree with them. But she hasn't been expelled. She's going to be a physician, maybe at a hospital near you, because she has the right political views. She's a left-wing activist, like the deans and the physicians at Wake Forest who are protecting her. Del Rosario's patient didn't ascribe to that ideology, so according to the principles of equity, he should be stabbed. Okay. Just so you know, we're going to keep on that story, because that's not acceptable.
And I'm glad Tucker picked up on our coverage of this. Look, this is a dangerous precedent that's being set at Wake Forest. Remember years ago, Ronald Reagan, when John Hinckley, and by the way, he's in the news. I'll get to that in a second. John Hinckley tried to kill President Reagan in that assassination attempt back in 1981. Reagan, when he was being wheeled into the hospital there in Washington, asked him if the doctors were Republican. Remember that? It was a great line. And it was, everybody kind of chuckled, and the doctor replied, Mr. President, we're all Americans today. You know, now you really do have to ask that question, and I can't say a lot because, you know what, I can't go there, but I will say this. You know, I have had some issues with my eyes, and the thought crossed my mind. The thought crossed my mind. And you should not have to worry about that. If you're going to the doctor, if you're going to the ER, if you're going to the hospital, you have a medical problem, it shouldn't matter. If you're a conservative or a liberal, it should not matter to your doctor if you are a conservative or a liberal. And I would hope and pray that the doctor would not intentionally screw up a procedure because they didn't like your political beliefs. I hope and pray that's not where we're going. But let me say this, that's exactly where they're going at Wake Forest Medical School. So if you live in North Carolina and that's your hospital of choice, you better find another hospital because that is flat out dangerous. So Hinckley, they let him out of prison. You know, he's in a psychiatric hospital. What they should have done, as soon as he was released after 35 years in the psychiatric hospital, they should have thrown his butt into a jail. He tried to kill Ronald Reagan, for crying out loud. So Hinckley is out of the hospital, and he played a concert at a sold-out theater in Brooklyn. Oh, he's going to play. Thank you. Hinckley is 66 years old. He says he's very excited. Oh, he's on Twitter. Wow, isn't that nice? And he's going to, I'm not going to tell you where he's performing. The tickets are only $20, so it's not like a hot ticket. It's not like the Goo Goo Dolls. Are they still a thing? I don't know. The venue has a capacity of 450 people. Unclear how many tickets were sold, but they're sold out. There you go. You know who's going to be there. All these libs. They're going to give this man who tried to kill a Republican president a standing ovation. You watch and see. Bunch of sleazoids. All right. All you supporters of transgender people, have I got a story for you. This is from the Washington Examiner. A high school rugby league is under fire after a transgender female athlete injured three biological females during a Saturday match. I am shocked, America. Shocked, I tell you, shocked. It's hard to follow along with this if you're driving, so let me break it down for you. They let a boy play on the girls' rugby team at Guam High School. And the male student beat the living crap out of three of the biological female players on the other team. So here is the story. This is from Luke Gentile.
Three teens and high school female rugby athletes were physically injured Saturday by a transgender player from Guam High. In light of the incident, Conrad Kerber, the head coach for both teens and boys and girls rugby teams, is calling out the league to address the concerns.
The aggressive nature that was witnessed clearly showed that it's a definite issue that we have to deal with. I had three players that were injured in that first game against Guam High directly by that particular player. Right now, we just have to come together as a group and discuss the proper path to take, discuss what the parameters are with allowing transgender males in full contact sports such as rugby.
Although no official decision has been made, and while discussions are ongoing, Kerber hopes the league will adopt the World Rugby Law Transgender Guideline, which states that transgender women may not currently play women's rugby because of the size, force, and power-producing advantages conferred by testosterone during puberty and adolescence, and the results in player welfare risk serious injuries.
Body size, body strength, and the ability to apply force with that size and strength completely dominate any girl that I have on my team.
The Academy of Our Lady of Guam's rugby team coaches unanimously agreed to enforce this rule over the weekend. Aiming to follow the footsteps of the home of the Cougars, Kerber says it's a matter of safety for his female athletes.
It's purely a safety issue when we discuss transgender males playing in female sports at a youth level, particularly at this type of contact sport as well. And I'm basically in line with the World Rugby guidelines regarding transgender males, playing female sports. And basically...
Okay, enough of the coach. Turn this off. Turn it off. So this coach is a moron. He can't have it both ways. Oh, we support the transgender athletes. We just don't want them playing transgender sports. No, you can't have it both ways. If you want to have boys playing on girls' teams, you will experience more of this. You're going to have these boys who think they are girls beating the living crap out of these biological girls. So what do you do? I mean, if this is the way it's going to be, what do you do? Do you tell the girls, toughen up, girls? If you can't hang with the men, you may as well just go to home economics class. Is that what they're trying to tell the girls here? I mean, what would you do if you're a parent and you've got a boy who says he's a girl on the team, on the opposing team, would you let your girls play against a boy? Especially rugby, which is a pretty involved, aggressive sport. I mean, what do you do here? This is not some sort of just, we're not in class. It's not some sort of a rhetorical question. We're not just conjecturing all of this. This is reality. You've got a boy who says he's a girl. They had to put him on the girls' rugby team. They go out and they play against another team, and you've got three biological girls that got beat up on the playing field. And what are we just going to shrug our shoulders, America? Is that what we're going to do here? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Folks, if you're tired of the woke culture, so is Eric Bolling. He's fighting back for you. Every afternoon, Eric Bolling on Newsmax, his new show, The Balance. Eric takes on the woke media culture, and he tells the hard truth. Eric even takes on the swamp, exposing Democrats and Republicans in Washington, people who don't work for you. So you need to watch Eric Bolling on Newsmax today. I watch Newsmax all the time. So do 20 million other Americans. You can also download the Newsmax app on your iPhone, your Android device. Millions of people making the switch because Newsmax is news you can trust. So watch today, Eric Bolling, The Balance. All right, good to have you back with us. This story from Tennessee and the Tennessee Star. Grace, one of the problems with Republicans is they behave like Democrats. Actually, that's the biggest problem facing Republicans.
Yeah.
Otherwise, basically, it would be a fine party, a fine political party.
I think it's just a lot of infighting, too, right now. That's the other big issue.
Really? You think that's it, infighting?
Just for me, personally.
Yeah.
I just don't trust anything because it's like everyone's just fighting each other.
I've got a big problem with the RINOs and the establishment Republicans. You know, and they're trying to eradicate all of the Trump supporters out of the state parties.
Oh yeah.
What's going on.
They like to start a lot of fights too.
They do. And I got a problem with it. I mean, look, and then there are some that are like rabid Trump supporters and they want to destroy everybody.
Yeah.
And okay, all right. Well, fine. If you do that, well, who's left to vote? Who's
strength
left to
the
govern?
Numbers, people.
There's the headline, the Tennessee General Assembly, which, by the way, is controlled by Republicans. They control everything in Tennessee. But these are establishment Republicans, all right? These are liberal Republicans. Here's the headline. Tennessee General Assembly may enable illegal aliens to acquire commercial and professional licenses. Now, you would think that would be Democrats doing that. The Tennessee Assembly is preparing legislation that will let illegals acquire a commercial license. So let's say you want to be an electrician. You in Tennessee could go in the Republicans. And by the way, this is legislation sponsored by Republicans. They want to allow illegals to open up businesses to compete against you.
Are you sure we're in Tennessee?
It's insane.
What?
Insane.
It sounds more like the Democrat-controlled Memphis to me.
This is bizarre stuff here. And we're going to get into more of this after the news break. But these are the same people, by the way, the Republicans in Tennessee. There's another story, and we'll try to compile all this together. But they want to pass legislation that would force nonprofits run by conservatives to unmask all of their donors, all of their supporters. It's crazy stuff going on. But I think the bigger issue here is, why are Tennessee Republicans siding with illegal aliens over law-abiding citizens? I'd like for somebody to explain that to me. All right, 844-747-8868. Ted Cruz coming up along with a boatload of Republican state leaders. We're going to be talking to them as well. Stick around, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's really a bad day to be Joe Biden. Another survey coming out, another poll. First of all, the Quinnipiac poll has his approval rating at 33%. That's life support. And now a Gallup poll shows that Joe Biden, his approval rating among millennials and Gen Zers is tanking. So it's not good, not looking good for Joe Biden. But maybe all those illegals moving into D.C. might be able to give him some encouragement. But Governor Greg Abbott, Texas, making good on the promise. And he's dropping off busloads of illegals. The first round arrived yesterday. Apparently another round has already arrived. And the best part of the story, they're dropping off the illegals in front of CNN's and Fox News Channel's D.C. bureaus. And I think that's just terrific. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line? Honored to have with us a great American patriot. A new book coming out, by the way. And Senator Ted Cruz, good to have you with us. The new book coming out September 13th, Justice Corrupted, How the Left Has Weaponized Our Legal System. May I argue with you for just a moment, Senator?
Sure.
What the heck? I've got a book coming out, and it's coming out the same week. Thank you, Senator Cruz. There goes my shot at making the bestseller list again.
Well, the beauty of it is there's enough truth to go around, and it is, as they say in the military world, it is a target-rich environment.
The last time, I forget who it was, but I just had this bad habit of my books coming out the same week with someone with massive followings of people. It's without fail. Nevertheless, it's going to be a great book, and congratulations.
Well, thank you. It's a topic that obviously impacts a lot of people. If you look at it, started really with Barack Obama, and with Joe Biden, it has accelerated the deep politicization of the Department of Justice, of the FBI. They use it as their own personal weapon, their own personal tool to try to destroy their enemies, and it really has undermined the foundations of the rule of law. And you know what? We're seeing this with the chaos at our southern border, where they refuse to enforce the law because they think there's political benefit in allowing over 2 million illegal immigrants to come in just last year. And I'm very glad the state of Texas is fighting back, and I think putting hundreds and soon to be thousands of illegal aliens on buses and sending them to Washington, D.C., is exactly the right thing to do. And in fact, Todd, last year I introduced legislation. I've suggested rather than just D.C., we ought to drop them off at Martha's Vineyard, at Nantucket, at Cupertino, at the Hamptons, at all of the places that rich liberals go to drink wine, eat cheese, and to say, gosh, I don't know why anyone is upset about our refusing to follow the law.
You see, Senator, I think it's a brilliant strategy, and I'm with you. I say keep sending the buses eastbound and down, as the great country music song says, but turn some of those around and head westbound over to Nancy Pelosi's house. I love it, and I think the American people appreciate that, but more importantly, it's got to be refreshing for the good people of Texas who are suffering because of this massive onslaught at the border.
Well, we're seeing the very real consequences, and frankly, nobody who cares about humanity, who cares about compassion, can watch over 2 million people come in illegally, can see the little children being assaulted, can see the women being sexually assaulted, and conclude anything other than that it is grotesquely cruel and inhuman what they're doing. And I got to say, Todd, you know, when Donald Trump was president, the Democrats and the corporate media, they could not stop talking about kids in cages. What they never told you was that it was Barack Obama who built the cages.
That's right.
And the cages today are bigger and more full under Joe Biden than they ever have been. And not a single Democrat gives a flip. None of them will come down to see them. None of them will talk about them. CNN can't even tell they're there anymore because, you know, CNN is too busy trying to be the left wing of the Democratic Party to actually pretend to be journalists.
Senator Ted Cruz is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, a new book coming out later this year. We're going to have a link to that so you can get more info over on our live show blog. Senator, you've been traveling around with Michael Knowles. I'm not going to repeat what was said at Yale. I sure hope Yaff is giving you, like, I don't know, bourbon, whiskey, or something after these visits to these wackadoodle schools.
Well, I tell you, particularly when Michael and I travel, there are some scotch and cigars at the end of the night. But, you know, we've been doing our podcast now for 2.5 years. It's called Verdict with Ted Cruz. When we launched it, very soon after we launched it, it became the number one ranked podcast in the world. We've had over 40 million downloads. And we're in the midst of a campus tour where we're going on to college campuses into the belly of the beast. Last year, we did University of Wisconsin at Madison. We did Catholic University in Washington, D.C., and we did Texas A&M. And just last Monday, we were in New Haven, Connecticut at Yale. Had about 600 students came out to the podcast, had about 2 hours of live Q&A. You can watch the whole thing. It got lively. And actually, next Monday, we're going to be in Tuscaloosa at the University of Alabama. And I think it is incredibly important that we go win hearts and minds, go on to college campuses. And I got to tell you, it was really striking, Todd. After we did the Yale program, I was visiting with a rabbi on campus who runs a program there. And he was saying in 20 years, he had not seen such a large gathering of students. And about a third of the students who came out were on the left. They were not politically in agreement with me, but they came and listened. And we had what was largely a civil, constructive, real discussion. And we need to be doing a lot more of that because our ideas work and their ideas don't. And I think we need to be going to be unafraid, go into the belly of the beast and carry the truth.
You see, and I love the format. It works. It's very relaxing. You're incredibly engaging. And you're really, very quick witted. And I thought the response to the kid who thought he had you, was hilarious. But at the same time, like you said, this is about winning hearts and minds and letting these liberal kids know, you know what? We're here to have a great time and talk about the issues.
And Todd, I got to say, it was striking. I mean, there were, as I said, we talked a lot about Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, for example, and about a third of the kids there were cheering. They were happy with her confirmation. And so I had a really substantive conversation with them about her record and why I think they should be very concerned. But, you know, it was striking. There were probably a half dozen to a dozen kids who were transgender, who were sitting there, and we thought we would have a protest. They might start screaming or yelling. They were respectful. They sat and listened, and I'm glad they were part of the conversation. We ought to be talking to each other a lot more rather than just yelling at each other.
And I have to imagine a lot of this for some of these kids, this is an introduction. You know, they're going there to see what's going on. I'm curious, though, over the time you and Michael have been out there, have you heard from any of these students who maybe have had a change of thought on some of the big political issues of the day?
So we certainly had students who came up and said, you know, I used to be on the left and I agree with you now. We have not had direct feedback from anyone who said, gosh, just watching this tonight changed my mind. But I'll say, you know, if you looked at the gathering that showed up at Yale, I think just about everyone watching expected to see some unpleasant and angry protest. You know, Yale Law School just recently had a speaker, Kristen Wagoner from the Alliance Defending Freedom, talking about religious liberty. And the leftists there screamed her down, tried to shut down the event. And for whatever reason, they didn't try to do that with us. I don't know if it was a decision on the front end, or it may well have been that they came intending to do that. And they were surprised to find that we were not mean. We were not unpleasant. We were talking about substantive issues. We were talking about free speech and the Constitution, and they may never have heard that before. For whatever reason, they didn't lose their minds and start screaming, and so I'm glad of that.
All right, good stuff. Senator, we're going to leave it there. Appreciate the great work y'all are doing exposing what's happening down there on that border. Crucial issue as we move forward in this country, especially with Title 42 going away.
That is absolutely right. We need to have complete transparency. We need to have a focus on the substance and the failures. And I will say the enormous irony, the hypocrisy of the Biden administration in the very same week saying they're going to extend the mask mandate on planes, but they're going to cancel Title 42. So if you get on an airplane, you got to go through the political theater of wearing a mask, but they're perfectly happy letting in millions of illegal immigrants, many of whom may have COVID, not testing them, not vaccinating them. It is the height of hypocrisy, and it is exactly where the Biden White House and the Senate Democrats are right now.
All right, Senator Ted. By the way, Senator, next time you're in Memphis, we got to take you down to Old Dominic's. You know, they do the Tennessee sipping whiskey. They've got a little cigar place up on the rooftop overlooking the Mississippi River. It's a great place to chill out.
Well, as they say in the movie Jerry Maguire, you had me at hello.
All right, Senator, always good having you on the show. Senator Ted Cruz, everybody. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, Tim Van Horn, who hosts the morning show at KWAM, heard us talking about this rugby story. You know, he's a big soccer guy. Does Van Horn play rugby? He's getting a little up there. Is he 50? Yeah, he probably shouldn't be playing rugby.
Todd, you can't say anything. He's younger than you.
I shouldn't be playing rugby either. I'm just saying.
Rugby's like tougher than football, man.
Gotta worry about, you know, breaking bones and stuff.
Yeah, rugby's no joke.
So the story is that the high school, so this is funny, the TV station is KUAM, Quam, in Guam, G-U-A-M, and Guam High School. So Guam High School has a dude who thinks he's a girl, and he's playing on the girls' rugby team. And so they played another school, and three biological girls got injured. He basically beat the living daylights out of him.
Why am I not
field.
Surprised?
So Tim Van Horn, as the resident expert when it comes to soccer and rugby, says, Todd, in women's rugby, there's only supposed to be one ball and one ball only on the field at all times.
Oh, my gosh.
So technically there would be three balls.
That's, he had to go there.
He went there. By the way, I don't know if this is a good thing or not, but there is an Easter egg hunt, and actually this is a pretty cool thing. It's just the name of the event that's a little off. So, you know, you have Easter eggs coming up Sunday, and we would go over to Grandma Starnes' house after church, and we'd have the Easter egg hunt.
Yeah,
and
we
so
do that too.
Do you do the plastic eggs with the candies inside?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's fun. I love that. And anyway, they're doing that, though, with children who are blind and visually impaired.
Yes.
Which is a great thing. But the problem is, if you're a blind kid, how do you find the Easter eggs? It's a legitimate question and problem. So they're doing this thing in Memphis where they're going to have these little devices that actually beep so you can actually track down the eggs. It is incredibly clever, right?
Yes. Kind of like Marco Polo.
So here's, Marco Beep Beep Polo. Beeping is, but here's the name of the group, the name of the event. It's called the Beeping Egg Hunt Explosion.
Sounds like it's saying bleeping, like,
no,
you
it's
know,
the
censorship.
No, it's the explosion part I've got a problem with.
Oh,
I'm not
yeah.
sure. You're a poor little blind kid. You're trying to find the beeping egg, and they're like, Mommy, Mommy, I found it. And it's like, beep, 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 beep. And then next thing you know, you got Hershey Kiss all over your face or the Cadbury egg. That could be bad.
That
might
could be
work
bad.
On that. All right. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. I want to go back to these two pieces of legislation. I don't mean to be Tennessee-centric today, but this is a lesson for all of you because this is happening in your communities as well. I can promise you that. So we've got Republican-controlled state house here in Tennessee. So the Republicans literally control everything. Two big stories you need to know about because this will be happening in your state legislature. So pay attention here. The Tennessee General Assembly is preparing legislation that would allow illegal immigrants to acquire commercial and professional licenses. The bill narrowly passed in the House of Representatives, 56-35, with 35 Republicans joining 21 Democrats and three Republicans present and not voting. The bill's sponsor, by the way, a guy by the name of Bill Freeman, who's a Democrat. The state Senate companion bill, sponsored by State Senator Shane Reeves of Murfreesboro. And that will be introduced for a vote by the full state Senate today. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Then you've got another story, and this is even more disgusting. A new bill would censor conservative groups 60 days before elections. This is from the Tennessee Star. An obscure caption bill slipped in by Speaker Cameron Sexton seeks to censor conservative groups 60 days prior to an election. The leaked 15-page amendment has all sorts of crazy stuff. We're going to post a link to this story in the live show blog. Americans for Prosperity, Tennessee Firearms Association, Tennessee Right to Life, Tennessee Stands, and other patriot groups may soon find themselves unable to even mention the names or show the faces of an elected official or candidate days before an election, or they could face tough penalties. Now, here's my concern. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. You know, what's going on here? We expect you, if you're running as a Republican, we expect you to behave as a Republican when you actually get elected to office. But far too often, we've got Republicans out there, they get elected and they start behaving like Democrats. I got a problem with that. I just have a problem with it. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up, we're going to be speaking to some chair people. They're chair people, right, Grace? That's the appropriate terminology. You got the guys and the gals.
Gender neutral.
No, we're not doing that.
I'm just kidding.
Stop.
I'm kidding. But yeah, that's the way you would say it.
We're going to be talking to the state chairs from Alabama, Tennessee, and Maine who are here in our great city. The Republicans meeting over at the Peabody Hotel. Are we allowed to say it's at the Peabody?
I guess so. You've
already
said it.
Well, I'm sorry about that. Didn't mean to spill the beans. Sorry. I hope they weren't terribly disappointed to find out there are no biscuits being served at the Peabody.
Yeah, it is a bit of a bummer.
You can get a bagel. What's the point?
Can you eat duck at the Peabody?
No, you can't. No, you cannot eat duck. Did you not hear the story?
No.
This is a real thing. So the ducks, you know, they swim in the lobby.
Yeah, that's why I asked.
So out of respect, they actually have a French restaurant there. On the premises.
Sure.
And they do not serve duck out of respect for the ducks.
You know, that's probably a labor trade.
Personally, I would have used it as like a training thing. You screw up one more time, you're on the menu at whatever
like
that place
Daffy
is called.
Over there.
Yeah. Les Français. We'll be right back, America. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Just a reminder, Easter right around the corner, Mother's Day coming up, and our good friend Mike Lindell has some great, great offers for all of our listeners exclusively over at MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. All sorts of great discounts on every single product that Mike sells, and I've got a good many of them, except for the doggy bed. But Grace, you've got that for Merlot. And my understanding is Merlot just sleeps like a baby on that. All right, very good. She's shaking her head yes. MyPillow.com/Starnes. And in addition to some great discounts, no matter what you buy, Mike is going to send you a free copy of his memoir. It's a wonderful book, incredibly inspirational. MyPillow.com/Starnes, and you'll be able to find all of those great discounts. All right, we have a studio chock full of Republicans, and that's always a good thing. There's been a big meeting here in Memphis, And we're excited to welcome some great, great friends from all over America. We have Jason Thompson, who's a national committeeman from Georgia in the Sewanee area. We also have from the great state of Maine, which is Ray Richardson country, Demi Kazonas, who is the chair of the GOP. And also, we're very proud to have a great American patriot, Scott Golden, who is the chair of the GOP right here in the Volunteer State. Hey, everybody, how's it going?
Good. Great. Good. Thank we're so excited. Us. Yeah.
Demi, I'm curious because you're the Yankee.
Yes.
But we say that affectionately.
Yes.
How's it been for you coming to Memphis, Tennessee, and hanging out with a bunch of Southerners?
Well, I can tell you the food is amazing. So I do get a little jealous. We're in red country. And we're fighting like hell to basically make Maine look the same way.
Yeah, it's and we understand a little bit about that because this is the blue part, as Scott will testify. This is the blue part of Tennessee, but it is still a great place, and we're fighting. And Demi, we're so glad that you're here.
This is great. Thank you.
And Scott, I want you to share with our listeners because just about every state was represented at this. But this was important meeting today or this week. Tell us what's been going on.
Yeah, so every year we have a training session with the RNC, and we typically go to Washington, D.C. But, of course, as we know, Washington, D.C. has a mandatory vaccine mandate and mask and everything else. So Chairwoman McDaniel said, well, rather than going to D.C., let's come down to Memphis. So the entire board of the Republican Party, which we call the 168, there's 168 of us, so we were all in town this week. We had a pretty chock-full agenda. It's kind of expanded from just training. We can talk about it. You know, one of the headlines out of today was that we have prevented our next Republican nominee from participating in the Commission on Presidential Debates.
That is a big deal.
Big deal.
It's a big deal.
Is there an alternative path here? Did you guys determine if we're not going to do the debates, what we're going to do?
I think right now, and that's the committee that I'm on. It's led by David Bossie, by the way, and David's great. He's going across the country now in
a
car.
That guy's a mess.
Oh, Bossie's something else. So
we're going to get him down in Georgia soon.
Yeah. So we think that there'll be other, you know, the way this has worked in the past is that this organization has rakes in millions of dollars to sell it to certain colleges that they can get it. And we'd like to see it just kind of go from out of the norm of what's been happening, not to mention the fact we would lack a little bit of control over who the moderators are, because last time they put a staffer for Joe Biden is one of the moderators.
And Jason, that has been a big issue we've been hearing about from our conservative listeners. They just don't feel like the Republican candidates were getting a fair shake.
It's been that way for forever now. And who was it, Donna Brazile? I'm trying to remember. Who was it that...
Well, that was in the primary. That was in the primary when she was working behind the
scenes. Yeah, but it's just been constant where they have Democrat operatives that are running this.
Candy Crowley, when she defended Barack Obama against Mitt Romney during the middle of the debate.
So we basically, we collectively, unanimously, we all agree on this. The whole 168 on the RNC said we've had enough and put our foot down and we're not going to take this anymore. And like the old Twisted Sister song, I guess, or whatever. We're not going to let them control the narrative anymore and mess up and do this to our candidates because they hurt us time and time again, and we just take it, and we're not going to take it anymore.
Well, I never thought I'd hear Twisted Sister in a conversation with Republicans.
There we go.
You know, that's how diverse we are now as a party.
And I was going to add, they started the debate after 26 states had already started voting. Which was ridiculous. So it's trying to control, I think, the media again.
You know, guys, and Scott, we'll go to you with this, and I'd like for y'all to jump in as well. This is a big deal coming up, the midterm elections.
Yes.
People are motivated. I think there's excitement out there. What are you guys hearing from the group you just left the Peabody Hotel? What's the mood nationally?
So, frustration at what's going on in Washington when you have one party rule, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden. Obviously, I feel it every time I drive across the state of Tennessee when I search for gas at $3.67 a gallon, and I am thankful for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's been problems in Washington that we're going to have to fix, and I think generally across the country, change is on its way. It's coming.
I was going to say, Maine is, it's really, you know, been really difficult for Mainers. Mainers heat by oil, and on top of that, we have the longest commute, 35 minutes, than any other state in the country. This is a huge issue for Maine.
And are you, especially in Maine, are you guys starting to see Democrats, independents, beginning to say, rethink the way they do their politics?
Absolutely. I think a real clear politics and a few other polls are showing that we're flippable. We have a governor who's polling better right now than the incumbent governor, which is Janet Mills, a Democrat. She thought she could buy her way in with Biden money, and I think it's not going to work well for her.
What about the issue of the mask mandates? You know, the CDC extending the mask mandate for airplanes until May. Do you guys think that is going to be a campaign issue, and should it be an issue?
I do. I think these people are tired of this government overreach that we've been in for 2 years. And you know, I don't even know that we're following the science anymore. Just as somebody wakes up, some bureaucrat in Washington wakes up and says, this is how I think I'm going to run your life today.
I was going to say, I'm a dentist. So our dental offices were closed down longer than any other state in the country. And if it wasn't for Senator Susan Collins going to the CDC and talking about the science, I think we'd still be closed, which is a big issue for the state of Maine.
And I'm an attorney, and I'm doing so much virtually now. Finally, some of the there's a big backlog in a lot of courts, but so much as I think a lot of the judges now are just moving towards virtual. But look, in August, I got COVID really bad and literally about died, hospitalized 10 days. But even for somebody like me, that you know, I think it's absolutely ridiculous that you go and you go to the airport and you put on your mask, and then as soon as you leave, you take it off. You know, it's like. We're in bizarro world at this point.
Well,
it's strange.
I have traveled all over America, spoken and met thousands of people, and I'm one of these odd ducks who never got I never got the China virus. But my cardiologist says, "Starnes, you got to get the vaccine."
Yep.
So I got the Moderna. It was in the hospital for a week,
right.
With heart problems that I did not have before I got. So I think a lot of people are just genuinely confused and frustrated. They don't like their freedoms being taken away. And honestly, I think that's going to be a great campaign slogan for somebody. We're the party that didn't shut you down.
Especially with parents and with
exactly.
school children.
Exactly.
Those are we've seen a huge change for folks that probably weren't politically involved before that are just now coming out of the woodwork, because when it comes down to their kids, they do care about that stuff. And obviously they care about the gas pump and rising prices, and people are angry.
All right. We've got – guys, we're going to take a break. Can you stick around for a few minutes? All right.
Sure.
We've got John Wall, who is the chair of the Alabama GOP. We're going to make sure – I'm a big Tennessee Volunteer fan, so we're going to make sure he's not – you know, a Roll Tide guy. So we may have some issues there, but we'll get that sorted out. 844-747-8868. Look, this is a great opportunity, folks. We've got a bunch of Republican leaders here. Give us a call. You can join the conversation. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, welcome back, everybody, to a very busy Todd Stearns Radio Show. I've never seen this many people in the studio at one time. We have, I'm just going to go down the list here. We have from the great state of Maine, WLOB, the Big Lobster listeners up there. You guys know Demi Kazonas. She is here. We also have a national committeeman from Georgia, Jason Thompson, here. He's from Sewanee, Georgia. And our great American patriot and our favorite Tennessee son, Scott Golden, who's the Tennessee GOP chair. And just in the studio during the break, we're excited to welcome, well, sort of excited, because John Wall actually does have University of Alabama ties, but he's the chair of the GOP in Alabama. Roll Tide.
Yes.
Roll Tide. Jeez, Alu. Now, I understand you're also a butterfly farmer. Is that right?
No, that's right. So if you want the technical term, it's a leptozoologist. But I raise butterflies for zoos and exhibits.
That's amazing. And you also reminded me that we were on stage together at the Trump rally in Alabama.
Yes. I had the opportunity to open that event. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like speaking to a crowd of 50,000 excited. They clapped at everything I said. I don't get that everywhere I go.
It was pretty exciting. Yeah.
When I spoke at the Joe Biden rally, it was terrible. I got booed. The difference was amazing.
Well, guys, I want to go to the phones. We've got a lot of people that want to weigh in here. Let's start with North Carolina, Michael, on the talk station. And Michael, first, welcome. And what do you want to tell the Republicans here in the room?
Well, greetings from the beautiful Crystal Coast, Todd. I wanted to take the opportunity to beg and plead with your guests there in the studio today to make a very big deal to every one of their candidates to please not forget about constituent services. I mean, I personally feel like I don't matter to anybody that is supposed to represent me there in Washington, D.C., except every 2 years or every 4 years when they need my vote. Other than that, I don't feel like they even care if I exist.
You know, Michael, that is a great point. And I know, Scott, you wanted to weigh in on that. I mean, it's all about remembering why we elected people in the first place.
Sure. I'll give you my background. I worked for Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn when she represented down here in Shelby County all the way to Nashville, and Congressman Stephen Fincher when he was here in West Tennessee. I always like to say, I'm a reform congressional staffer. But I do know that the offices do care. They are there to exist. I would, you know, look, it's tough to get members that represent a state, you know, 7 million people in the state of Tennessee, 7.5 hours long. It's tough to grab your senator or governor when you can, but they all have local offices, and I would just encourage everybody to reach out. There are good people that work in there, and they'll try to help you as best they can.
You know, John from Alabama, I know you guys have been taking some pretty ferocious stands on some of the big culture issues, the governor there on the transgender issue. What are the big issues that you think are going to compel people to go and vote in the midterms?
Oh, there's so much. And you know, first, I like to say the party, our role is to be involved in policy. You know, it has to be. It's why we have a platform. It's why we stand for these values, these issues. And we have to be engaged in that. And I think it's so important that we do represent the people, because the people are with us on the values. You know, what makes the Republican Party great is not our name. It's the values we represent. And you're going to see that this November, whether it's gas prices or social issues.
And, you know, Demi, that's a good point, because, you know, we get caught up in the personality. But for conservatives, for Republicans, it really is about the platform, those values that we're supporting out there.
Yeah. And also, you know, we need to represent the people. I mean, that's, and as you can tell, the demographic and everything is changing. The issues are changing. Biden really has done a great job showing us the difference between Republicans and Democrats. Thank you very much. And even this morning, we were talking about his poll numbers, like falling, you know, to 32%, I think. And that's because his policies are terrible, and we have great policies.
Jason, going back to what's happening in Georgia right now, where there's a big fight, and it's going to be a fierce fight going into the primaries. Do you think the Republicans are going to be coming out stronger in the state of Georgia?
They definitely will, and we're going to make sure that happens. I mean, people are angry about what happened, and we're going to see people come out in mass and support our candidates. Obviously, we have some heated primaries, but we'll all come together in the end.
That's a good way to describe that. That was a tough one. It's, you know, it is what it is, though. For me, and again, you know, we have 120 radio stations that carry this program. And for us, it's about platform, platform, platform. It's about the issues and who can stand for those issues. And Scott, at the end of the day, who's going to be able to stand tall when, you know, it gets really tough out there? And to that point, that's why I'm glad you guys are finally addressing these issues when it comes to these debates.
We actually did a lot of I think it was 16 rule changes to the RNC rules today. It was everything covering for changing the way we do conventions, by the way, is both 24 and 28. We're starting to get a little bit better handle on that.
The debate committee, I think, has become almost like a permanent committee at this point, and we're going to be much more involved with that.
And the role of the states in the nominating process. Yeah. You say, you know, of course, the Democrats are getting rid of Iowa apparently today. So,
well, and to that point, have they announced yet? Have you guys decided where we're going to have the big convention? Because you know, there's a city in Tennessee that's in the running.
Do you know how much lobbying I do to these guys? I'm on the hook for lunch after this, and
As chairman of Alabama, I'm willing to commit my vote for Nashville.
And
for Nashville.
Same with me in Georgia, and everybody. Nobody wants to head to in Georgia.
Wait a
to
minute.
Milwaukee.
I think
What's
we all need to
Milwaukee?
Look. I think we all need to look at Emmy to Maine, our main our main chairman over here and get a commitment from her on the air.
It's three against one. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with this.
What I feel like, Rana. Goodness gracious, now.
If we're going to have a party, let's at least make it a Tennessee party, right?
Yeah, but you know, since we've got you commandeered here, you know, Memphis did a pretty good job hosting you guys. So Nashville. Nash Vegas. I think we need, you know, old school Memphis.
We would love to get them into the mix. We're looking at 28 as well, so we could.
That's true.
Now, the reason why is because it's become so hard to get to book cities out when you're competing with the NFL and all these big conventions. Yeah. So,
Demi, have they taken you to get some dry rub barbecue?
They've tried to, but it ends up that we end up like last night at 2 o'clock in the morning walking on Beale Street so that we can make sure that we go along with that song. So I think we've done more of that and drinking some beer.
Oh my word! All right, so here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna get you some dry rub, and then you're like, "What's Milwaukee?"
Yeah.
So that's all. We'll get that taken care of. All right. Well, guys, we're going to have to wrap things up here, but we thank y'all for coming down, and thank you for the great work that you're doing and standing up for the great platform of the Republican Party. And, Scott, this must have been fun for you. I'll give you the last word as our state chairman.
It's great. It's we have what it's kind of our RNC family. It really is. We're friends. We all work together. We've been together really a lot of us since Trump. So we've all kind of gone through President Trump and COVID and where we are now. And so all of us are just excited about what's about to happen in 2022. If we do the work, we're going to be able to change things in Washington.
All right. Well, guys, it's been a great day here on the program. Tomorrow, we're going to do it all over again. I don't know if we've had this many Republicans. We had Senator Ted Cruz on before you guys, so it's been sort of a jam-packed day here. Folks, get out there. Have a great day. Be good, America. We'll see you tomorrow. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.